ओम शांति। सो इन जस्ट अ फ्यू आवर्स वी विल बी सिटिंग इन फ्रंट ऑफ बाप दादा। I'm just wondering how many of you are going to be meeting Bap Dada in this way for the first time? Yes, so it's a very special day. Yeah? So many of us have seen the changes in the Yagya from something very, very small and now something really very big. We used to meet Baba in the history hall in Pandabhavan, and Baba would sit on cushions on the floor and we would all be sitting around, very, very small number of people, and Baba would stay the whole night. We would have picnics with Baba, and Baba would meet individually. Very magical days. Hardly anyone knew about this, but gradually Baba has asked his children to spread the word, and so the word has spread all over the world, and so now people come in much, much larger numbers. After History Hall, then we met Baba in the Meditation Hall. And then after that, that was too small. And then we went to Om Shanti Bhavan, which was built rock by rock out of the mountains. And then even that became too small. And then Shantivan. So Shantivan, this gigantic hall, which maybe when it first appeared, we thought, well, this is suitable for keeping airplanes. So it looked about that size and shape. But you can see that I have been sometimes where there have been 30,000 people, which is a very big number. This time, I think we'll be probably between 15 and 20,000. There's always lots of people who come just for one day. So they'll come during the day today and meet with Baba. And some of them will even go during the night, those who live not too far away. So today's subject is deep spiritual absorption. And I had put another couple of words with that title as well, and that was receptivity. We have to be receptive and also perceptive. Baba is very subtle. Shiva Baba, the incorporeal, the supreme, the one who dwells in the incorporeal world, who has the form of an infinitesimal point of light, who is invisible, and whom we recognize in the heart. How do we recognize Baba? How did all of you recognize Baba? I think it's probably too mysterious to be able to say how. And if we could say how, then anyone could do it. Isn't that right? But somehow, I always feel that Baba, for each and every one of us, he somehow opened up our mind and our intellect and made it possible for us to see. And this is why Baba is said to be the one who is the giver of the third eye, because we can only see Baba with the third eye. You cannot see Baba with the two eyes. You can see the medium that Baba uses, Dadi Gulzar, but even Dadi Gulzar's stage of yoga, that you do not see, you discern it, you perceive it through your third eye. Is that right? And so we have to also be able to perceive not just only the incorporeal Shiv Baba, but together with him in the combined form, the avyakt form of Brahma, avyakta Brahma. And so avyakta Brahma is in the form of a very subtle, also invisible, but yet perceptible, discernible body of light, the shadow body of white light. So this we can understand. And occasionally Baba has been known to open up that third eye to the point where you can even see this. I remember one day I was talking with Daddy Prakash Mani, and we were actually in the Tower of Peace. And all of a sudden she said, yes, I can see him, I can feel him, he's around me, you know. And so this is also something very special that is given to those who have that unadulterated, absolutely faithful and long-term love for Baba. And Baba will allow the soul to see, you know. But otherwise, for our practice, we need to be able to discern. And this is why Baba has given us the power of discernment, or sometimes called the power of discrimination. And this is because our third eye is linked to the intellect, and it is through the intellect, or the divine intellect, that we are able to understand who is in front of us, who is speaking to us. Baba has said that, you know, the yogi soul will be the one who follows Srimat. And we will be able to follow Srimat if we discern who is giving it to us. When we are using just the intellect, the body conscious intellect, then we judge. But then when we step aside from the body conscious intellect and we start to use the divine intellect, which is the gift from Baba, then we begin to see who is telling us this. So the body conscious intellect is able to calculate things on the basis of physical input. But the divine intellect receives thoughts directly from the mind of God. I see. So it's very different. So we are getting ourselves ready to sit in the big hall with lots of people all around, and there's, in a way, you could say there's lots and lots of dimensions going on. So which dimension will we sit in? You see, because you can choose what dimension you want to be in. And this is why we spend time preparing ourselves to meet Baba. And I remember long ago when Baba was coming during the 70s and 80s. We used to actually have a very long meditation before Baba would come, and it was really very expert yogis who were the ones who would come, and there was a very, very powerful atmosphere of invocation of Baba. And that dimension also exists now today, along with other dimensions of other people who may be not going to Baba in that feeling of tapasya, but I would recommend that you go in on that dimension. Because we can, it is so easy to tune in something and tune out something else. And this is because Baba has taught us to practice the power of silence. And when we practice the power of silence, then our power of concentration increases also. And so we can resonate with that very subtle avyakt dimension, which is Bab Dada's dimension. And so from now we're moving ourselves into that space, that mental space, that dimension. We have our physical body. We also have our subtle body. And we also are the incorporeal soul. And so when we are practicing to be on the same level as Baba, that means we go into the avyakt form ourselves. And because you meet on that dimension where Baba is, and Baba is pulling us more and more away from the world of sound and activity and so on, and asking us to go into a space where it's absolutely pure, very, very subtle, and totally positive. The avyakt stage and the subtle regions, Baba had said, are powered by the mind. And so that means we have to be very conscious of our minds. The mind is a very subtle type of a thing. And in a moment, it'll go into doubt, negativity, disturbance, distress. And then it goes into the very physical consciousness when it does that, and it becomes difficult to pull it back to the place where it needs to be. And this is why Baba asks us to practice, to be very conscious, to be very aware that where is my mind? What is my mind doing? Because in order to do service through the mind has to be very steady, very stable. So the mind is like a butterfly, you know, going all over the place. But it will sit down and be still as long as nobody disturbs it. If you disturb a butterfly, it goes everywhere. So like that, the mind can easily get disturbed. But we must practice to be undisturbed and avyakt. Now the mind is the vehicle of the soul, which is also like a sense organ. And it is with the mind that we perceive. And because you can't perceive these things with your physical sense organs. So the organ that we have for this kind of perception is the organ of the mind. But that perception activity of the mind only works when the mind is very pure, very still, and very positive. Spirituality brings us to that place. So spirituality means, you know, I am Baba's child. And it's not just a nice idea. It's a deep feeling, you see. And you arrive at that deep feeling when you go into the depth of that very simple statement. You know, when Daddy Janki tells us Om Shanti 3 times, It's extremely simple words, but you know, the first Om Shanti, who am I? First step. Second step, who do I belong to? Who is mine? And the third step is really, in that case, now what? You know? Having become the child of Baba, the soul, now what? What are the implications of that? You see. Because we're going in that consciousness to receive something. Recently it has been said that meditation is invocation. Invocation is something that is done very much around the time of Diwali, which we have just been celebrating during November. Diwali means the invocation of Lakshmi. That means you want the goddess Lakshmi to come right here in this world. And so you make the house clean and you invoke Lakshmi. Now, we are not invoking Lakshmi, we're invoking Baba. So that meditation before Baba comes is really that invocation. On the one hand, we're invoking our own avyakt stage and our state of concentration. Because when we're in avyakt concentration, then you can catch Baba's drishti. And because when Baba comes, what happens? The atmosphere changes. As Baba's there, he begins to scan the whole, and he begins to radiate that power of silence, which is extremely subtle, extremely empowering, extremely beautiful. And in our concentrated avyakt stage, you catch the light, because Baba is radiating intense light, as well as that very sweet and empowering thing called the power of silence. You know, and Adi Janki has been asking us, you know, really try to feel that power of silence. You can't feel it unless you're subtle. If we are in body consciousness, we're sort of excluded from it. We're not on that wavelength, so we can't pick up that station. So our practice is to be very still, very deep, very silent. Now the mind is sometimes compared with water. Water, you know, when it's very still, then it will reflect. And you will see, say in a very calm lake, you will see the mountains and the sky and everything. But a little bit of wind comes along and then all of that is taken away by the ripples in the water. And so emotions will do that to the mind. And this is why part of our practice of the avyakt stage is to move out of the state of emotions into a state of finer feelings, very refined, beautiful, finer feelings. Because these finer feelings correspond to that silence, that peace, that love, that beauty that the mystics encountered in their contemplations of God. You see, and we are his children, but we cannot really absorb that inheritance, because the inheritance is the property of our mother and father. So for us to absorb that inheritance, we need to be on that in-between space between corporeal and incorporeal. So that is the subtle state or the avyakt state, and it's all to do with the mind. Baba had said a few days ago in the Murli that enjoy and take full benefit from the confluence age, because when you are back in the soul world, all this knowledge will be merged and you will no longer be able to know this knowledge or to feel your own self as a soul, nor will you be able to experience the meeting with Baba. Though he is in the soul world and you are in the soul world, but you can't experience anything in the soul world because experience happens in the mind. And so this is why the subtle stage is the place where we want to be. And so on a physical level, we are alive, we do have our bodies, and so we are connected with the physical world, but only to the extent that it's necessary. You see, because you can be in the physical body, in the physical world, but oriented toward the subtle, the spiritual. And this is the speciality of the confluence age. It is overlaid upon the Iron Age. And so what we're doing is living simultaneously in two ages that are really the opposite of each other. So we dance in between the physical world and the subtle region in terms of where we place our consciousness. Is that right? Is that what you do? So this is what Baba is teaching us, how to be in this world, but not of this world. And so they say that this, the symbol for this is the lotus. And the lotus has its feet, its roots, in the muddy waters of the stagnant pond, and that's where it gets its food from. But the lotus is above. And in the middle of a lotus, there is this round area where the seeds come in between the petals, and that is where traditionally the yogis are shown seated. And of course the lotus is one of the ornaments of Vishnu. So we use this state of being in the lotus position. We are in the world, but we are above the world. And when we are above the world, we are oriented towards that region, that state, that dimension of the avyakt stage. So Baba meets us there. Dadi Gulzar, in her spiritual practice, is always very careful to keep herself as much as possible in that avyakt stage. And she actually is one of the few Brahma Kumaris who regularly and consistently has 8 hours yoga every day. Baba had recommended, now you should have 8 hours yoga every day. And what happens is we have 3 hours yoga every day. No? Would you say? Pretty much? Más o menos? More or less? Okay, 2 hours? I mean, I calculated, if we do everything that is, you know, the fixed times, the traffic controls, the Amrit Vela, the meditation before Murli, the evening meditation, and you can get 3 hours yoga, 3.5 hours yoga, quite reasonably. So that can be our realistic aim. And then to go beyond that into the 8 hours yoga a day, then you're a very serious yogi, you see. Serious not in the sense of you're serious, but serious in the sense that it's a priority for you. Because these states of subtlety that Baba is asking us to reach, where we can catch Baba's touchings, and we can absorb the Murli, you know, even when you're sitting in the morning Murli class, you see, what state of consciousness should we be in order to absorb, receive, discern, and actually take in the food for the mind? And then we have to be attentive, and it's much more effective if we're in that concentrated avyakt stage. And I don't think that we can have that if we just go from a lokic state of consciousness, a body consciousness, and go sit in the Murli, and you won't receive that much. Have you experienced that? But when we're really paying attention to our state of consciousness to make ourselves really receptive, then that spiritual food goes in, you see. And this, of course, every day. But when we meet Bab Dada on the special day when he comes and we hear a Murli that no one has heard before for 5,000 years, that's very special. And we think, okay, we came on this pilgrimage all the way, you know, from quite far away. Some of you came from the other side of the universe, right? To this place on this day to receive from Baba. And so to take maximum best advantage in these next few hours, you know, take some rest, definitely, but also visit Baba's room. Talk to Baba. Talking to Baba on a regular basis is a very good way to keep Baba with you all the time. And then when Baba comes in the body of Dadi Gulzar and meets us, you know, then, you know, we're on the same level with him and the conversation is continuing, and very often you experience that exactly what you have been concerned about, exactly what you've been picking up in the airwaves, exactly what you've been talking to Baba about, he is giving the response. And he is saying, yes, I hear you, I heard you, I feel you, you know, because you want to be sure that Baba knows you. Is that right? That's important, no? You have to feel that Baba knows that I'm here, and Baba knows what I'm feeling, Baba knows what I'm thinking, because it's a living relationship, you see. Because Baba is really there, and we are really here. And Madhuban is the place where that interface between us and Baba takes place. Madhuban is the place, confluence age is the time, and it's still, you know, secret enough, you know. Many people know about this, but the world really doesn't know. If the world would know, we wouldn't get the opportunity to sit in such an intimate way with our beloved, with our friend, with our mother and father, our teacher, our mentor, you see. And Baba enables us to have all these relationships with him, because as the days go by, and you can really see this happening, that the world is failing humanity. Is that right? The people of the world, the scientific community, the governments and so on, were so sure that they could take care of everything. But that statement is not there anymore. And now they say, no, we can't. The UN can't do anything. The powerful governments can't do anything. And so, you know, the people of the world, it's like a message saying, okay, you're on your own. And then you say, what? We had so much faith. And Baba had said, have faith in me, because I am your support. I will never die. I will never leave you. I will always protect you. I'll be around you. But you have to be with me. So not only is meditation invocation, but meditation is also relationship. And relationship means conversation. You talk to him, he talks to you. You feel him, he feels you. Baba is very reciprocal. And now that we are in this situation of the large gathering, sometimes people find the large gathering is a bit too large. What do you think? A bit too big? And so you feel maybe you lose that intimacy. And that happens when you are really on the ground with the large crowd. But when you're in the avyakt stage, time changes. Atmosphere changes. The interaction between yourself and Baba, your friend, all of a sudden the rest of the world disappears and it's just you and Baba. And then you are only with him, and you are in the subtle region in terms of your awareness, your concentration, your feeling, and it is in that state that you receive not just only the words, but the significance of the words and the special relevance to your particular conversation with Baba, your particular situation in life, the way you want to move forward in your spiritual development. You see, this is why you're here. And then Baba is empowering us. And the thing that makes us weakest is doubt. Doubt is a factor of negativity, and it's also a little moment in the mind that disconnects the soul from Baba and pushes you into Maya's world, Ravan's world, the world of disturbances, the world where you are cut off from your source. And so meditation is also faith. I see. And this is something that we see very much in the brothers and sisters who are the original jewels. You know, now there's only 7 or 8 original jewels still with us. And the faith is such a conviction that, you know, the Yajna have passed through so many things, so experienced, that yes, Baba is the one. Baba is the one who carries us across. And Baba knows all the things that we will have to go through. And Baba tells us everything in advance. And in many ways, our relationship with Baba is unique in the sense that it's just I, the soul, and Baba. And we have to have these four faiths that Baba has said. First, faith, a very delicate faith, faith in the self, you know. So open up your heart and ask yourself this question, you know, do I have that absolute faith that Baba wants me? Baba has selected me. Do you have that? Yes, only one. Yes, Baba wants me, Baba likes me. Even I have a few, you know, defects and all that, but he's not looking at that. So if he's not looking at that, we also should not look at that. So no, you are my selected ones. You see. So this faith, yes, me. I am the one. I am the selected one. And who has selected me? That one, Baba. The one that the devotees of all religions are worshipping and remembering. That one is my personal teacher, my parents, my mentor, my friend, my beloved. You see, so this is very, very special. And we're going to celebrate that relationship in our time together with Baba this evening, you know, and just be alone with Baba. Though there's a big crowd, but when you're in this avyakt state and you're enjoying that relationship, then you are just I, the soul, and Baba coming together through this extraordinary method that Baba has created of coming through his chosen medium. He used to come in the same way through Brahma Baba, now in the same way through Dadi Gulzar. Now, receiving. Receiving also means the words that Baba give us, not only do they fill us with love and peace and strength, they're also cleaning, you know, because Raj Yoga is a process of purification. And when we come to Madhuban, we are coming in the bhatti. The bhatti is a furnace. So being in the furnace of Madhuban, some purification, special purification will take place here. And it is so powerful, the atmosphere of Madhuban, so strong, that it actually causes impurities to come to the surface so that they can be expelled from the system of this self with body and mind. And so whenever you experience any kind of purging going on, which could take the form of can be an illness, can be a disturbance in your emotions, in your mind, in your feelings, can be waves of all sorts of things. You have to really be very avyakt at that time and just let it pass through without any resistance, so that it just goes through and goes out. Have you experienced that? Don't resist. Just be a kind of a detached observer, even from things that are going on in your heart and in your mind, because then they come out without anything trying to block it or hold it back or suppress it. Just let it go through. Give it to Baba, and Baba takes it, and the soul makes really, every time you come to Madhuban, is a huge step forward in this process of becoming subtle and purification and negative things just getting pulled out of your being in these ways. And then, you see, Baba wants us to become karmatit. Karmatit means on the same level as Baba is. And so when we're practicing to be in this concentrated avyakt stage, we get glimpses of what it feels like to be karmatit. And you really have this opportunity this evening with Baba to just be totally on that level. And so practice in advance to just keep yourself very open, very subtle, very gentle, very sweet, and just, yes, Baba, I am with you, and whatever you want to tell me, I'm going to receive it, I'm going to take it in, and it's going to do its work within me, and this is why I'm here. You know? So nowadays, Baba doesn't stay so long. I noticed that the last time when Baba came in October, 24th it was, Baba actually did everything he had to do in that first hour. And then he ran away. And everybody said, "Oh, wait a minute, we haven't finished." So they pulled him back. But really, you could see that, yes, Baba came to fulfill the that part of the program, but the real work that Baba was doing, I felt that was really completed in that single hour, you see. So in 1 hour, how extraordinary that he can say everything he has to say, and he can satisfy everyone from a spiritual point of view. And even, I had a very wonderful experience a couple of years ago. I was called on stage with some other people to present a garland to Baba. And I experienced that the drishti that Baba gave lasted for 10 minutes. And I thought to myself afterwards, 10 minutes? I don't think. I look at the video, it was more like 10 seconds. If that. But you see how when you're in that connection with Baba, time, space, everything changes. And you're in your own world with Baba. So you have that possibility to enter into that space where it's your own time zone, your own space zone, is just you, the soul, in your avyakt, angelic form, with Baba. And everything else doesn't matter. And this is why also we have to practice things like past is past. Because otherwise, from nowhere, a thought from the past comes into your mind and breaks your connection. You see? So the actual connection of yoga between I, the soul, and Baba, you know, it's not like a steel rope. It's a very, very subtle thing. Maybe a bit more like a spider web. Can break very easily. Now the spider threads are, relatively speaking, extremely strong. But we need to make a rope of many, many threads. And these threads of connection with Baba, they are made of love. Love and remembrance. So when you're talking to Baba, thinking about Baba, churning on what he says, thinking about your relationship with Baba, and really claiming your rights, you claim your inheritance, you claim this very beautiful quality relationship that he's offering, you know. So we should never think, oh, maybe I'm not worthy, or maybe he's really talking to somebody else, or thinking about somebody else, or we're just detached observers here. No, you know, this is me and my Baba. See? And then this experience that we have, oh, we have the possibility of making it a very total experience, when we prepare ourselves nicely to be in that avyakt stage. And also, we have to be very flexible. Whatever happens is fine, you know. And even if you lose connection, well, what do? You reconnect. You know. What's wrong with that? Yeah. I think sometimes we create some expectations. It should be like this, and it can't be like that, and things like that. Now we have to be very open, because Baba calls the shots. Yeah? So Baba will be talking to us about what he wants to talk to us about. And it's always the right time, the right thing, the right moment, the right place, and what I have to hear. And part of it is my nourishment. Part of it also is my correction. He's still the teacher. He still gives us some adjustments and corrections. What he wants us to be able to do is, in many ways, quite humanly impossible. But because he loves us, and because he's God, he takes us out of the limitations of the being just merely human and into some other dimension where he just makes us angelic, and he makes these things possible. And then he says, okay, now go back into the world and share what you have received. Nowadays, Baba's moving more and more away from the verbal service, more and more into the atmospheric service. And this is why the practice of the Avyakt stage and the practice to not allow wrong thoughts to be entertained in your mind. As Baba had said in the Murli today, they will come. You know, like an intruder in your house. But you don't entertain them. So there's nothing wrong with wrong thoughts coming. That's normal. But you don't entertain them. You say, no. That's not a right thought. Go away. And then you keep your mind very pure. And this is why we have knowledge of drama. Knowledge of drama is so good that whatever happens is exactly what's supposed to happen. So you don't need to give it another thought. And moment by moment, let go of that moment, whatever it was. We don't have to judge it, or question it, or worry about it, or think that it means something about me, you know. No, it just is, and then it goes. This helps us to make ourselves really subtle and really present, because Baba is with us at moment by moment, the present moment. And so during the hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever amount of time Baba gives to us this evening, but second by second, allow yourself to just be with him. And if it breaks, just instantly reconnect. And don't think about what happened, why it broke, doesn't matter. Just reconnect and be, you see. Because this is the thing that keeps you in the Avyakt stage and enables you to be strong, you see. Because our connection with Baba is not a matter of a rigid thing. It's a very subtle thing that you're moving in and out of it, but never very far away from it. You see, it's not rigid. Very subtle. Just touching like this. Sometimes you can hold it for 2 seconds and then it drifts. You bring yourself back. Let yourself keep near it, around it, never going too far away. And if you get broken, just come back again. Again and again. This is the way of yoga. It is very subtle, very imperceptible, really. But then when you feel that gift that Baba gives, you know, these days Baba says sometimes he'll give you a gift, and you may wonder, what kind of gift will he give you? The gift he gives you is really a deep experience, an unforgettable experience. And even if it is only for a few seconds, you can feel that it's a gift, because by yourself you can't create that. It just comes. And the moment, we have to be ready for it when it comes, so that we can fully enjoy it, experience it, and absorb it, because this is something that sustains us. This can be feelings, it can be realizations, it can be deep understandings, it can be acceptances. It comes in many ways, but each one of them adds up to a very powerful lifelong, not just lifelong, but eternity-long blessing that is part of our connection with Baba that no one can take away, nothing can take away, and it lives in your heart, in your memories. And it is really this that carries you across the various different difficulties that certainly will be coming. Now the world is very unstable, and what is needed is that ability to just be this conduit, so that Baba's feelings, Baba's energy, Baba's silence can just flow through and reach those places where people need it, you see. So Baba has been telling us, make sure that you have taken everything you need to take for you, because now you're going to be needed to be the instruments, the conduits for this to pass through and reach others. And it's not just only that we have to be a pipe where it can pass through, but we also have to be able to share, to convey, to donate. And so Baba says, have a big stock. So use, you know, sometimes Baba has said that if you miss 1 second of the confluence age, you're missing a year. Because confluence age time is very different from regular chronological time. And this is why we want to feel it, enjoy it, enrich ourselves from it, participate in this extraordinary creative process that's going on while nobody's looking. The world is being reset, and we are part of it. So we feel very, very fortunate. And all of us are going to go together into a new world. And so we have to also create that trust in each other, because this is what's the problem in the world. Nobody trusts anybody. Is that right? And so we trust Baba. Is that right? We trust Baba. And Baba is our constant support. And that gives us the possibility to trust others. So one of the faiths that Baba has asked us to have is faith in the family. So building bridges of trust between each other is a very important thing. And for that, the mind has to be that discerning holy swan that just sees the specialities, and it is not in the least bit bothered by any of the other aspects. It just doesn't take it in at all. Because then you can have trust, because that trust doesn't depend on you getting something from that other person. That trust is knowing that what Baba sees, you can also see. And it really doesn't matter about mistakes or wrong things, because it's all part of the drama, and it's okay, and it turns into the right thing, miraculously. But it does do that. And so I think one of the very beautiful gifts that Dadi Janki has been giving us at this time in her classes is the gift of patience. Have you noticed that? She's been talking about patience. So we have to go inside ourselves and see where we are lacking in patience, where we become, you know, irritated because of lack of patience, where we get frustrated because of lack of patience, and just see how important it is to develop this quality of patience as we move slowly into this other time frame, this other dimension of the avyakt stage. And if we are trying to force it or push it, then it'll break. And so the patience is the most helpful virtue in this process of moving into that new space where we have to operate using the power of the mind to serve with the mind and really be connected with Baba so that his mind, his spiritual power can just move through us in whatever way he wants. So we have to get ourselves, the ego, out of the way. Sometimes they say that ego means edging God out, which is quite a good description of it. But when we just say, okay, Baba, you know, you do it, because I don't know what you want, but I'm just here. I'm available. I'm your instrument. You do what you want to do, and I will be there, watching, patiently, being an unblocked conduit, you know. We don't want to have any blocks, otherwise he can't operate through blocked souls, huh? So make sure that tonight you can really let that energy of Baba move through you, flow through you, and if there are any blocks, it'll just unblock it, you know. Like people have arterial blocks, you know, and they die of heart failure. We don't want to have spiritual heart failure from a blockage in our heart. So if he has to push any blocks out, just let him push them. Okay, Om Shanti.